listening to the Caesar singers remind me of the great contribution to the life of the United States of black people. Many people speak of black culture. They talk about the blues, the movie. Somehow or another, the spiritual is talked about less. But it occurs to me that the 5,000 spirituals that was created during the period of fighting to overthrow chattel slavery was created during this period and became the guide through which a Harriet Tubman could operate. A Sojourner Truth could operate and was able to give of their strength to a great cause in the freedom fight. You know, there are many, many different stages, higher stages in this fight for freedom against exploitation and against race and national oppression. Karl Marx and Frederick Douglass never physically met. But the interesting thing is that both said the same thing. Marx, the task of philosophers is not merely to interpret the world, the point is to change it. Then comes Frederick Douglass, who states nothing. Absolutely nothing has been achieved except through struggle. And he adds, it never has and never will. And when one thinks along these lines, the mind is brought to bear on one of the great tribunes of this freedom struggle. The struggle for equality. The struggle for unity of the class and people against racism, against all of the policies and practices of monopoly. Emerging from this struggle and active in this struggle is a great woman, a great fighter, a member of the Central Committee of the Communist Party USA, co-chairwoman of the National Alliance and Against Political Repression. It is my great honor to give you one who is known in every town and village in our country, to people all over the world. Wherever people fight to be free, they know the name Angela Davis. I give you that.
I too was very moved by the music we just heard. And I thought that, of course, there is Moses of the Bible, the biblical Pharaoh, but then Harriet Tubman was Moses. And Pharaoh was the slaveholder class. And today, I think that we must all consider ourselves the Moseses who were going to challenge and defeat the Pharaoh called Reaganism. And certainly when I look at a Moses like Henry Winston and a Moses like Gus Hall, it makes me feel very proud to say that I too am a member of the Communist Party of the United States of America. But of course, you don't have to be a communist to recognize that there is something fundamentally wrong with the system under which we are living. We have a president who is not only a bad president, but he's not even a good actor and often can't even remember his lines. Because I wonder whether he really meant to talk about how the news media exaggerated the question of unemployment by interviewing, what did he say, every unemployed worker in South Succotash. A president who has men under him who would sound more like comedians than serious politicians if it weren't for the fact that they control, for the moment, the destiny of this country and the world. The Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Strategic and Nuclear Forces said, for example, not very long ago, everybody's going to make it in an all-out nuclear war with the Soviet Union if there's enough shovels to go around. Dig a hole, cover it with a couple of doors, and then throw 3 feet of dirt on top. It's the dirt that does it. This was reported in the Los Angeles Times, incidentally. Of course, this is a rally which we have convened in connection with the second extraordinary conference of the Communist Party. A rally whose theme is take a stand against Reaganism. And when I think about the fact that I would not be standing at this platform, on this platform today, if communists had not moved others to take a stand against Ronald Reagan, when I was charged with 3 capital crimes, and in that we will be celebrating the 10th anniversary of my acquittal in just a little more than a month, I'd like to point out that Ronald Reagan had intended that I go to the gas chamber when he controlled the government of the state of California. That was his intention. That was his plan. We took a stand against Ronald Reagan then, and we proved that not Ronald Reagan would have his way, but rather the people would triumph. And of course, as you heard, it was at the first extraordinary conference of the Communist Party that the question of unemployment compensation was raised. At that conference also, the rise of racism was discussed. There was a case that was discussed during that conference, which involved 9 young black men who had been fraudulently charged with raping 2 white women, Piscataquis 9. And I think that when we consider that as we meet here in Milwaukee, once again, racism is on the rise. Once again, the myth of the black rapist has been conjured up. Once again, we must demand justice for one who was victim of that myth, one who was victim of a police crime. We must demand justice for Ernest Lacy. Stand in the case of Ernest Lacy. As we demand justice for Ernest Lacy, we must do it in concrete ways. Those of you who are inhabitants of this city in Milwaukee, you should attend the hearing, which will take place on Monday. The courtroom should be packed. And there's a table right over there at which the committee has literature, and they would appreciate your signing up to become active in that case. Those of us who are from states and cities all over the land, we must return, we must encourage our comrades, our sisters and brothers to write letters to Mayor Henry Meyer, demand that an independent citizens investigation committee look into the death of Ernest Lacy. Check out the 3 policemen, 2 of which are on paid vacation and 1 of which is still on the force. Conduct an independent investigation, and the mayor should accept whatever recommendation the Citizens Community Committee makes. That is the demand we have to make all over this land. The Ernest Lacy case is symbolic of the racist edge of the murderous offensive we call Reaganism. Here in Milwaukee, vast numbers of black people are without jobs because plants are shutting down. The auto industry, for example. Even in the community, the department stores are shutting down. Sears shut down not too long ago, I hear, and hundreds of black people have lost their jobs. During the winter, it seems that the sanitation department in Milwaukee did not bother to pick up the garbage in the inner city, in the black community. And now it is rat infested. And of course, who are they blaming for the rats? As sort of a microcosm, comrades, sisters, and brothers, of what is happening all over this nation. Black people, Puerto Ricans, Chicanos, Latinos, Native American Indians, Asians, Pacific Islanders, and particularly the young people in those racially and nationally oppressed communities, particularly the women, particularly the seniors, are feeling the worst blows in this war against the entire working class that we call Reaganism. And as we plan our fight back, as we become involved in the movements which allow us to take a stand against Reaganism, we have to recognize that racism is the thread which runs throughout the offensive. The struggle against racism must be the theme that runs throughout all of our challenges to Reaganism. And of course, that means that wherever we are, we stand up for affirmative action. That means that we support the extension of the Voting Rights Act in its original form, not in the formulation in which Ronald Reagan would have us support it. And of course, it means that we also support bilingual ballots for every state in the Union. It means that we understand why it is so absolutely important to raise the demand, ban the Ku Klux Klan. And it means that we convey to others why it is absolutely essential for white people to raise that demand, ban the Ku Klux Klan. And it means that we understand, as we conduct the struggle for peace, as we fight for nuclear, for an end to the nuclear arms race, it means that we understand the connection of racism to that struggle. From 1970 to 1978, when the military budget was $85 billion, and you remember during those days, we were screaming about how insanely bloated the military budget was then. During that period, 109,000 black people lost their jobs. For each $1 billion increase in the military budget, 1,300 black people lost their jobs. Within the struggle for nuclear disarmament, black people and all peoples from racially and nationally oppressed communities must be conspicuously present, must be conspicuously present. And that means that the movement itself has to draw the connections between the rise in the defense, they call it the defense budget, it's a war budget, the rise in the war budget and the increase in the level of racism. It means that we should understand that victories in the struggle for black liberation, victories in the struggles of liberation movements of other oppressed minorities in this country are victories in the overall progressive movement. And that we need those victories in order to ensure that the struggle for peace, the struggle against economic exploitation, continue to mount and move towards victory. And sisters and brothers, I think that as we look around us and we see right here in the city of Milwaukee, and I hesitate to raise this because it sounds so ridiculous. It's indicative of the madness toward which this system has headed. A policy that calls for two pots and a cot. Two pots and a cot. Two hot meals and a cot to sleep on. A return to the old days of the workhouses, the prison farm. And of course, this is directly the result of the policies of the Reagan administration, and it is black people and other people of color who would be filling those poor houses, filling those work forms, should such policies be instituted. Sisters and brothers, there is one issue that I think we should all acknowledge, and that is that while all over this land there is a wave of anti-Reaganism that can be heard on the lips of people from the plants to the communities to the schools, everywhere, what we have to do is organize that movement so that it becomes visible. So that it becomes, as Martin Luther King says, a palpable force that cannot be ignored. And it is not accidental that one of the greatest organizers, mass organizers in this country, the executive secretary of the National Alliance Against Racist and Political Repression, a black woman who has been a member of the Communist Party since she was 16 years old. That was how long ago, Shirley? 35 and a half years. Who has shared her lessons, her experiences with literally hundreds and thousands of communists and non-communists all over this country. It is not accidental that she and her husband have now directly felt the repressive edge of that monster we call Reaganism. In February of this year, she and her husband were assaulted by police officers and thrown off the Amtrak train in the middle of the night in Gainesville, Georgia. In Gainesville, Georgia. Assaulted and then themselves convicted of assaulting a police officer, obstructing a police officer. And I think that we have to raise the demand, freedom for Charlene Mitchell and Mike Welch all across this land. Because, and it is because in defending Charlene, we are defending one of the best Moseses that the Communist Party and the United States of America can lay claim to. This is what we are going to need in the coming struggle. This is when our struggle against racism really takes the form in which it can achieve concrete victories if we know how to organize. And if we understand how we place the struggle against racism within the context of all of our other movements. This is the only thing that is going to defeat Reaganism. We are, from one perspective, experiencing the most dismal times this country has ever known. But at the same time, we find ourselves on the edge of a new historical moment. It is the brightest moment the planet, the entire world, has ever known. We recognize that for each person who is gathered in this hall to take a stand here in Milwaukee, there are thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, and potentially millions all over this land. Men and women who are ready to respond to an agenda of struggle, who are ready to defy Reaganism, who are ready to support a program that is designed to meet the needs of our people, one that has been so forcefully outlined and so brilliantly presented tonight by Comrade Gus Hall. And of course, for the past day and a half, communist leaders and activists from all over the country have gathered here in this very warm and hospitable community. And I hope that those of you who are from Milwaukee and who have never attended a gathering before of the Communist Party have learned what those people in Washington are so scared of. understand now why they have tried to keep you away from us for so long. We want to extend our hand to you. We want to propose to you that the only meaningful way, the only powerful way in which we can take a stand against Reaganism during the coming months and years is to become involved in organized struggle, to become involved, actively involved in your trade unions, to ensure that your unions support the special demands of workers of color, women and men alike, to become involved in the struggle against racist and political repression. And of course, we invite you to join the National Alliance on behalf of all of our sisters and brothers, communist and non-communist alike. We invite you to join us in struggle because we are also active in the U.S. Peace Council. We are also active in the organizations of women, Women for Racial and Economic Equality. And we, through those organizations, express the absolute centrality of the fight against racism. But we want to extend a special invitation to you this evening. We want to invite you to consider joining us in the Communist Party itself. Together, shoulder to shoulder, and to march together, arm in arm, and all with all others who are willing to take a stand during these critical times. And sisters and brothers, that is the way we can turn this entire nation around. Thank you.
Now, I ask the singers to come forward. Sons of Freedom.
This is a very special song that we want to sing. And still haven't received an answer to this request, but I have the opportunity to record it. But I wish to at least say that this is a song that was written, lyrics and words, by a member of our Communist Party and the chairman of the state, the New York State section of our party, whose job is behind me.
Hard time trying to make it.
My neighbors, my fellow workers, and my family.